11:02 on this Tuesday midday. Mark Melusis with you. Get back to your calls in a little bit at 888-808-1019. Hoff, Dove across the way. Rolling right up until 2. Evan and Tiki, they come your way then. It's interesting. I was talking to Hoff during the course of the break about, you know, what transpired last Friday, and that is that Jalen Brunson signing the, you know, 4-year, $150 million, or agreeing to the contract extension with the Knicks, 4 years, $157 million, and the unprecedented move by Jalen Brunson. And I can't think of a player, and maybe you could help me out, but I can't think of a player that came to this city from another organization that was already an established player. Came to this city with the perception, no fanfare, no necessarily celebrations. It wasn't exactly like everyone thought that the Knicks were getting the player that Jalen Brunson has developed into and became that player for that respective team that has risen to the level that Brunson has. Like, it's remarkable. And the latest move is unprecedented. In today's day and age, like, when you look at player empowerment in the NBA and the movement and the leverage that they have, the amount of money that's being spent and, you know, how much money you can make based on how long, big the contract extensions can be based on the amount of years that you've logged in the league. And I don't want the owners to keep it all. We all go out there. We're not going to watch Jim Dolan play basketball. We're going out there to watch, you know, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, Mikal Bridges, and the like. So be it. But it's unprecedented for a player who has brought so much change to an organization, as quote unquote, you know, changed the narrative, not only for him as a player, who became here as an established player, became a superstar in New York City for the New York Knicks. And it puts a smile on my face every time I make that statement. Because as a longtime Knicks fan, that doesn't happen. Not to this organization. As you've seen over the years, whether it be LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis. Like, over the years, those that, you know, yeah, the Knicks fan was thought at one point in time that maybe, just maybe, that caliber of player was going to walk into the building and change the entire organization, and they decided to pass, right? Nobody wanted to be the quote-unquote Messiah. Nobody wanted to deal with the pressure. They love playing at the Mecca. They love putting on a show at Madison Square Garden, but nobody did it. Jalen Brunson wanted the pressure. Now, he didn't have necessarily the stature of those players, but wanted it, right? Left Dallas. Dallas wouldn't pay him. When Dallas finally came to their senses and said, you know what, he's pretty good, let's pay him, he was like, no, thanks, but no thanks. You had your opportunity and came here. The criticism when Brunson signed here in New York from those saying, well, look at the amount of money that the Knicks gave Jalen Brunson. He's not going to be worth it. And it's guys and gals that cover this league on a day-in, day-out basis and cover the association. And that's fine. Not everyone's going to be right. It's okay to admit when you're wrong. But I'm sure Jalen Brunson used that as motivation to prove everyone wrong, and he has. And what he has been an instrument of change. And what he did on Friday, agreeing to that extension at 4 years, $157 million, knowing full well. And athletes don't think about injuries. Athletes don't think negative. Athletes lean more positive than anything else, knowing the fact that next offseason he could potentially get a 5-year, $270 million contract extension that nobody would quibble with, nobody would scoff at, and he decided to take less for the betterment of the organization. Stunning. So the Knicks have a little bit more flexibility to be able to build a championship team. And if the reports are true, we'll see if it ends up being true, that Mikal Bridges, who the Knicks still have 2 years of control with, right, after the acquisition for the Brooklyn Nets, is now willing to take less based on what Jalen Brunson did. Well, that it only just adds to the legacy. And there's only one thing left. You're not, you know, the nonsense of building statues or whatever. I don't just win a championship. The Knicks have not won a title since 1973. The glory days for me as a Knicks fan were, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, mid-90s. You know, Ewing and the boys, Riley, Van Gundy, all that, Checkets. Like, those were the glory days for me as a Knicks fan. You had to go through all the years of just the nonsense and the drama and all the negative stories and the negative headlines and the terrible headlines coming out of Madison Square Garden, the mismanagement of the organization, the laughingstock being mocked out in Disney movies, everything that came along with being a Knicks fan. Nobody wanted the pressure, and now we're here. And for Brunson, the only one left for a guy that has become an absolute superstar in this city is to win a chip. I mean, that's it. Go out there and win an NBA title. You go out there and do that after what you did on Friday, and you have the Villanova 4, and Bridges takes less, and everything that we have seen, and that's really what it's all about now. We are here. This is the enjoyable times. This is the pressure times. These are the expectation times. It's no longer about building something and making it, you know, marketable, appealing, something like that for another player to come in and be that final piece. The final piece is they made the deal and they gave up a lot of draft capital and assets. The final piece is really Mikal Bridges. And Bridges works. And I don't care about whether or not he was an all-star or not. I really don't. Like those that play that game and that nonsense, I mean, they have no idea what they're talking about. It's about a team. It's about the culture you're trying to build. Winning comes along with it, but bringing in the right guys that get it, that aren't going to get in the way regardless of their talent level, that are going to buy into the coaching system of Tom Thibodeau, that are going to buy into the minutes that he asks you to pull out there and play, that are going to buy into the defense that he emphasizes you to go out there and play. Those are the players, and are talented players. Those are the guys you want. And that's exactly what the Knicks have. It's remarkable. Like I've said it, you know, to friends, family, whatever it might be, it is remarkable to be a Knicks fan right now and where they are as an organization, how well run they are as a franchise. And that's credit to Leon Rose. That is the, even though he never meets with the media, I don't care. You know, I don't care. Just keep doing what you do. Just be you. Do what you do because you have been fantastic. It's a credit to Tom Thibodeau. It's a credit to their relationship and Rose bringing Thibodeau players that can play his system. And the symmetry between the president and the head coach, which is important. We've seen it work to the contrary a number of times with the New York Knicks. And then the big instrument of change. It began with Randle. And then Knicks fans have soured, amazingly enough, on Julius Randle. And I've defended him. And it's a shame that he's not been able to stay healthy the past two playoffs. Or going into the playoffs. Randle suffering the significant shoulder injury last year, January, against the Miami Heat, and was unable to get back on the court. But the instrument really of change has been Brunson, and it's remarkable. And a guy that is not this imposing figure, is not sitting there at 6'5", ripped, shredded, you know, this. But what he is he's great. He's smooth. Footwork is brilliant, and he's a leader, and he's a winner. And he was in college, and he's proven to be in the NBA. And it's a credit to him. Unprecedented move by Brunson on Friday that deserves all the accolades, all the love, all the adornment that Knicks fans can lay on him because he deserves it. Is, as I mentioned before, if he decided to wait, would not have been and take the 5-year, $270 million deal, decided to wait another year, and he stayed healthy, and the Knicks had a really good season, and he wanted to get as much money as he possibly could, nobody would have scoffed at it because he's earned it. He decided to take less because he knows the importance of winning. And if he wins here, he'll be able to make it up. And if he wins here, he becomes iconic. And that's what you want to do in this city. As we've talked about it time and time again, being a great regular season player is one thing. You are defined in the playoffs. You are defined when you what you do if you're able to deliver in the biggest moments. That's what defines you. And Brunson gets it. Brunson gets it. 2 years ago plus. It was about 2 years and 5 days ago. Because I think Friday was the anniversary, right? 2 years, 5 days ago, everything changed for the New York Knicks. And at the time, nobody realized what exactly was changing. And all changed for the better. 1111, Malus is with you. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Let's head out to Queens we go. It's Justin. It's the fan. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, Hey, Moose, that was absolutely fantastic, man. You hit everything on the head with Brunson. I was going to talk about Alonzo, but I gotta follow that up with Brunson. First of all, there's something to be said about somebody who wants to be here, and then when they come here, they deliver. No complaints. They just go out there, show up, and show out, and that's what he did. And you could see now that, talk about a culture, talk about people wanting to be here. When you come here and you put the team on your shoulders and do it in New York, you're going to get paid. So him leaving money on the table doesn't matter. The endorsements are coming. The commercials are coming. He is going to get paid regardless. So what he did is just absolutely, it's phenomenal. Now with Pete, I just don't get it. Pete is a homegrown Met, has done nothing but produce. Why would you not bring him back? You see what the lineup is like when we have Pete, now Vientos, Alvarez, of course Martinez, Lindor. You need a long lineup. If Pete goes, yeah, you might get somebody in here who might have similar numbers. But you need that beast in the middle of the lineup. And the guy has done it in New York. I think that gets understated. People don't realize that it's hard to do it here. And that's all he's done since he's come up is hit.
Yeah,
so why would you get rid of him?
Justin, I agree. I mean, maybe because they haven't won enough. Maybe because people don't necessarily enjoy his quirky personality. Maybe people believe he's not necessarily worth the money that he's looking to get. Like, but it's not, honestly, it's not your money. It's not my money, right?
Exactly.
I mean, Steve Cohen exactly. doesn't have the tin can out there looking for donations to go pay Pete Alonso. So, and they're going to spend money regardless. So the question is, all right, do you look at Alonso and say, well, I'm willing to spend on Pete. Well, here's the deal. If the Mets are not willing to sign Pete for a long-term deal, then you got to go out there and move him. I mean, that's really it. Come the MLB trade deadline, and you can't let now it's difficult to do now because the team has played themselves into contention. So it would have been a lot easier if this team right now at the All-Star break was sitting there 10 games under the 500 mark. But for those that think he's going to be easily replaceable and bringing up one prospect or as a Red Sox player that's got 35 home runs for his career, Pete Alonso, as a caller brought up, you know, I shortchanged him. His career average season is 42 and 100 plus ribbies.
But Mark, you also got to think about it this way. You know, I personally think we're going to get Soto. I believe that. But isn't it easier to sell Soto knowing that he's got a guy, of course he's not going to be judged, but a guy like that can take the pressure off him, an established hitter? Like, you got to sell, look, Soto. We want you to come here. Obviously, we're going to put you in the middle of the lineup, but we're going to have Pete right behind you or right in front of you. You know what I mean? It's easier to sell as opposed to, hey, you just come here and you be the guy. You know what I mean? That's one thing. The other thing, too, is, like you're saying, with Pete, you know what you're going to get. In New York, that's worth more than,
what
I mean?
Like, that's a great point.
You got to pencil that in.
That's
like,
a great
I don't
point.
Know what these guys are thinking about. Like, you know what you're going to get with him,
yeah.
And he's done it already.
New York is not for everybody, Justin, as we've seen.
Yeah.
Some guys can handle it, some athletes cannot. And Pete has shown you the ability to go out there and handle it. To this Soto point, I would say this. I do think, Justin, in the end, for one, I think it's – and I don't blame him. I think it's about the money. Like, I think it's a matter of what you're willing to spend, like, and how much you're willing to spend. I think it would be interesting. I think you, even if Alonso was not here and you had Lindor, Nimmo, Francisco Alvarez, Vientos – I think there's enough there, along with what number are we at? Are we at $500, $550, $600 million? What number are we at for Juan Soto? Because ultimately, I do think that is going to be the ultimate deciding factor.
You think they do both? You think Cohen does both?
I think he will,
Alonso
yes.
and Soto?
Yes, I do.
Me too, man. Thanks for a couple of minutes, man. I appreciate it.
You got it, Justin. Appreciate you hanging in there. Let's head out to New Hyde Park. It's Alan. It's the fan. What's going on, Alan?
Mark, how you doing? I'm just surprised. I turn on the radio. You're on the air, which is so refreshing to hear.
There you go. I'm alive and well, Alan. There you go.
Listen, I watch you on TIX. I know you're alive and well. I enjoy your.
I know, Alan. I'm just busting your chest.
Listen, I've always had dogs, so I don't know. I'm not getting into it. I heard something about your puppy or something. Hope all's well. My latest dog now, Oliver. Which was my daughter's dog when she went to UDEL. Oliver's now 15. He has some issues, but he's doing fine. He's doing fine at 15. He's a Yorkie. So, Mark, we haven't spoken since Father's Day. You might remember that call we had. We
yes.
You and I always have emotional. We always have an emotional Father's Day, you and I. It's interesting. So getting back up to speed right now. You know, I called because of your comments. I have Knicks, Yankees, and a little range of comments.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, listen, I'm very disappointed in Hartenstein. My son lives in the building. I was telling JR on Saturday. My son lives in the building in White Plains where he lives. He's gone. And I know I can't repeat to you guys what I told my son to tell him and his father. I was so aggravated. Look what Brunson did. I mean, he's the piece that I felt for center. These 2 years he was here, we made him. Hibbs made him what he is, putting him in when he did and making him and developing him this year to what he became these last couple of years. So just, I know we're going to get somebody. I don't know when. I know Robinson. I get it. He's like John Carlos, always hurt. I know. So we'll see what happens. I'm just saying I'm disappointed.
I can't fault a player that has not made that kind of money benefiting off the play that he had, stepping in for the injured Mitchell Robinson and getting paid and also going to a championship contending team. Like, I can't get
Oklahoma City is not Madison Avenue. Let's move on. I'm just saying.
I understand, but they could, the Knicks knew. The Knicks, but Alan, it's not surprising. The Knicks were up against
it. Okay, well, I'm giving you my fan point of view. I'm a fan, and I'm disappointed for what he did. And also, listen, my son and him were always having conversations, so they had relationships. So I'm just giving you a fan point of view. Yankees and then the quick Rangers. Listen, you know, when we spoke on Father's Day, you know, the Yankees were, I think they're playing the Red Sox then. And I had said, you know, I wanted them to win the game Sunday night. We all know the slide they're on. We all know what happened. We all saw what happened on Sunday. I was very pissed off about that, what took place. Thank God I found Roku. I found it on my phone. I put it on for free to watch the game on my phone.
Yeah.
So that was a very,
Rice
is an interesting player, what he's done, these 6 home runs, and the ending was horrible.
Yeah, horrible.
But I haven't lost complete faith in the closer. I'm sure Cashman sees what's going on and we'll do something. Before I get to the Rangers very quickly.
Well, let's get to the Rangers here. I got to go to breakout. Okay. What on the Rangers?
Okay, the Rangers. Mark, this Trouba incident. You know, this whole back going to Detroit, wife, you know, the nurse, the doctor, whatever she is, he didn't want to go. Were you in favor of Trouba leaving or were you in favor of Trouba staying?
I thought the criticism of Trouba by Ranger fans, I thought was very much over the top. I was there at breakup day when I chatted with Jacob after the season. There was a little miscommunication about the ankle. The ankle injury was suffered a month before the playoffs. He was not playing on a broken ankle during the playoffs. You get rid of Trouba, who exactly is going to hit anybody on defense?
Okay. Okay.
I mean, that would be the issue. Now, it was made a complete mess of it, you know, because Trouba had a full no trade clause. Then that changed to 15 teams July 1st. If you don't know the story, Larry Brooks has done a great job in the New York Post reporting on it. You know, his wife is a medical residency in New York City. She has 1 year left on that. They have a newborn. He's not looking to leave. He's not looking to leave. And he's making north of $8 million. Here's what I would say for Drury. He swung and missed. If you're the president and general manager of the Rangers, and you make the statement that all things are on the table following a loss in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I know they've been there two of the last 3 years, but Mika disappeared, Panarin disappeared, Kreider disappeared, and you had no defense, no structure to get out of your own zone, and you got pushed around by the Florida Panthers. And if you're Chris Drury, and rumors again float out there about Stamkos, who ended up with Nashville, you want to bring in Patrick Kane, who resigned with the Detroit Red Wings. Obviously, Jake Gensel got traded from Carolina to Tampa. Then he got signed to a long-term deal. Here's the message here's the learning lesson for Chris Drury. Quickly here before we go to break. I know we don't talk a little hockey here on the fan, but quickly before we go to break, here's the message for Drury. Next year at the NHL trade deadline, when you have an opportunity to go out there and be aggressive and go bring in impact players, which he did, to go get Gensel from the Pittsburgh Penguins and decided not to pay the price. Next year, if the Rangers happen to have the season, not similar, they won 55 games in the President's Trophy this past year, but if you have a similar type of year and you're that good in the regular season, you got to go for it. Because the window, which was wide open, and you haven't paid Shesterkin $11 to $13 million a year yet, and he's looking for that contract extension, which would be well-deserved, that window is starting to close, and you were brought in replacing Gorton and Davidson to do what? Win a cup. 888-808-1019, your number to call. Deer Park we go. It's John. It's the fan. What's going on, Johnny?
So,
John, I don't know what happened with you. Let's go to another John. Staten Island. What's going on, John?
What's up, Moose? How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
I'm good. I haven't talked to you guys since you were with, Maggie. I remember I was the guy who called up when you left the courtside seats.
Yes.
And went to work for the Wilpons.
Courtside Gary.
And you went to go work for the Wilpons on SNY. I remember that very well. Anyway.
I did work, yes. I did leave to go as someone cash that check and do a sports night on SNY. Yes, I stunned Farina.
Everybody's got to work
there at SNY. Yes,
everyone's got to work. Here's my thought. I've heard you say a few times that, like, and I agree. Obviously, Steve is a businessman.
He is.
That is why. If I were running the Mets and I was David Stearns, I would go to Scott Boras and I would say, hey, listen, we're going to give Pete a little extra money and we're just going to float it, but we want him as a DH. Let him finish out this year. I do not want to go after Soto, as great as Soto is, because of the amount of money you're going to have to spend. And then once he finally gets the money and he gets this long-term deal, what are you playing for if you're never going to get another deal and it's guaranteed money? I just don't trust long-term deals. And I think financially, a smart businessman, especially someone who does hedge funds, is going to bet on a bunch of different things happening. So then you could look for a third base. I would trade Severino or Quintana, but then whoever wants them has to take Jeff McNeil. He's got to go.
Right.
And I would logically look at it like I would my portfolio. I'm going to put a little bit here, a little bit there. But to go all in on the chance to get Soto and let Alonso walk or get dissatisfied when you know he would be a perfect DH. He's a good first baseman, but you should pay him as a DH. And then next year, trade JD. But for this year, go all out. But I would trade the pitcher. You got to get rid of McNeil. He is like the grumpy guy in the corner. He must hate all this OMG stuff. It must drive him crazy every time he sees Iglesias because everybody loves him. And I think logistically, that's what they should do. And then, you know, listen, get a reliever and maybe make a move to try to get McMahon.
Can I ask you a great breakdown, John? I give you a lot of credit. Ran through it, bing, bang, boom, right? You realize the Mets are in wild card contention in the National League, right?
Yeah.
All right,
that's why I'm not.
You're pairing guys off, getting rid of guys left and right, but this team, I think, is of the notion that they've got something to play for in the second half. When you look at Alonso, first off, I mean, JD was signed to a 1-year deal. So,
but I'm not trading Alonso, Moose. I'm getting rid of one pitcher because Senga's coming back.
Right, but I have to hope that also Senga then stays healthy, too. Right?
100%.
So Senga... has not been a quick healer, has not had a great rehab process, has taken him forever to get back on the mound. Remember when we were having conversations that Senga was going to be back on the mound in early June? We're sitting here
1,000%.
Now, it's July, mid-July, and Senga still, you know, just made another rehab start Sunday up in Syracuse. So it's been a while for Kodai Senga. Yeah, So Senga, I agree with you. If he stays healthy in the second half, Kodai Senga is a massive injection into that starting rotation. No question about it. If I look at Pete Alonso, if you're telling me I'm going to pay him as a DH, how much is that going to cost him then?
I'd pay him extra to be a DH, knowing he could platoon in the beginning, but he's eventually going to be a DH.
Yeah, and there were Mets scouts, believe me, at the time when I was working over at SNY, that never thought Pete Alonso would play a day of first base in for the New York Mets.
He's a good first baseman. He's a good first baseman.
He's okay. He's fine. But, he does the job. He's not great. He's okay.
But he's a little slow over 5 years, I'm saying. It's easier to get a young person to play first or third. He's eventually going to be a DH.
Yes.
So I would rather not go after Soto, pay Alonso extra, so that eventually he'll stay and become our DH, because I don't like old DHs, generally. You never know how they're going to do in New York. He does well. And as far as pairing off, all I'm saying is, let's say somebody, we need a reliever. Let's say somebody's interested in Severino. You're a Yankee fan. He goes from great to batting practice in a blink of an eye.
Yes, he does.
It is the reality of the situation. And we don't want to keep McNeil's contract, which is an albatross, because I don't think he's very well liked, besides maybe Alonso and some other people in that organization.
Yeah, he's a
what I'm saying is, if you want to make a push, and we need relievers, to get a good reliever, you're going to have to give up something that somebody wants. And Severino or Quintana or Minaya, I like them all. Don't get me wrong. They've all done well. But I got to think ahead, and I want that luxury tax down, because I want to go after a good third baseman. I mean, I could care less.
Yeah, you want to spread the wealth out, right? You want to look at it where it's strength in numbers necessarily than going out there and getting a superstar. We get into the long-term contracts. I think it plays a little bit more when you're looking at long-term deals for starting pitchers as compared to long-term deals when you're looking at everyday players. And I don't think you can generalize it and look at every situation as being one and the same. That's where you judge, or you have to have a feel of the individual. You know, are they still going to be motivated to be great, do all the necessary work that needs to be done in order to be great after getting paid the unbelievable contract? I mean, that's the work that you have to do a little bit behind the scenes, right? That's the work that you have to do when having conversations in previous destinations, when you're looking at Juan Soto, whether it be Washington, San Diego, with the Yankees, if you are the Mets, and you are looking to sign him to the big money deal. I think regardless of what happens, there is too much heat to it, too much reporting on it, to think that Soto and the Mets are not going to be interested in Juan Soto. And you could be one where you say to yourself, well, listen, the Yankees are going to be the favorite. He's been there. He understands it. But then you get down to the numbers of it and the impact of it. How's it going to play if you're paying Juan Soto? Say, for argument's sake, you give Juan Soto a $500 million contract and Judge is making what he's making. How does that play in the room? Does Judge necessarily care? Does it bother him? Does it impact him? Is there a little bit of... Because Soto's impact has been vast, has been great. We know how the 1-2 combination of Soto and Judge has been lethal. The Yankees haven't gotten production from much else when you're looking in that lineup. But how exactly does that necessarily play in the room? Because as good as Soto has been, and he's dealt with a hand injury, he's not been as good the last month since he slid into home and suffered that bruised right hand. But Judge has been obviously the best position player by far. He's the captain of the team. And contracts are a matter of timing, right? When it comes up, when that respective deal comes up, how much leverage do you have? And Soto is going to have vast leverage. As long as Cohen and the Mets remain a threat, and the Yankees are not dumb. They understand it. They understand the motivation. Then it comes down to appeal, right? Remaining in the Bronx. Well, the Mets, if they finish off this second half as well as they played toward the tail end of the first half, they're going to be appealing. And then you get to Cohen's wealth, and they're a massive threat. I can't tell you one way or the other, sitting here on this Tuesday midday on the Fan, of where exactly Juan Soto is going to end up. But I mentioned it yesterday, I fully believe it, that the Yankees have to operate as an organization knowing the clock is potentially ticking, or the clock is ticking, on Soto, number 22, being a New York Yankee. Is there's great uncertainty after this season. And that was really the general point I was making, where they're not going to pair off. They're not going to trade off. They're not selling off assets. They're looking to add. And there's no perfect team out there in Major League Baseball, and the Yankees have got a lot of warts to them, and they also have a lot of failure. where we see a fan base when this team starts to lean negative, starts to play poorly, starts to have a little bit of a losing streak, goes seven straight series without winning a series. You know, the sky is falling. The cliff is coming. We've seen this before. We have seen it before. We saw it in 2022. We saw this team go 82-80 last year. We know the importance of Judge and Soto. Can some of these other guys turn around? Can Verdugo get going? Can Volpe get going? All the things that we've had to talk about. Well, the Yankees need to add to this team to try and put them in the best possible position to win, because this year was an all-in season. And for the Mets, when you go into the offseason, regardless of how this season does play out, they've been players on impactful play. They've been in the conversation on impactful, great talent on the major league level. Juan Soto is exactly that. 11:43, Mark Melusis with you at Tuesday midday, in for BT and Sal. 888-808-1019, your number to call. EJ, East Meadow, New York is up next. What's going on, EJ?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Moose, you have been wonderful today. I'm going to talk to Mets fans for a second, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm well prepared. And I'm going to go rapid fire, so it's no big deal. Pete Alonso, in all of baseball, is the number, is top 4 through 10. We're talking everything from hits, from doubles, home runs, RBIs, and OPS, which Brandon loves to freaking talk about all the doggone time, okay? Slugging and everything. He's top 10. The only two players that are actually better than him in all of those statistics, including, is Freddie Freeman,
yeah,
and Christian Walker. The Dodgers are not trading Freddie Freeman here, and Freddie Freeman doesn't even hit as many home runs. And Christian Walker, I'm sorry, he's wonderful, but guess what? Is he better than Pete? Okay, great. He's better than Pete. He can barely play first base if anybody's ever watching an Arizona Diamondback game, okay? So this whole idea, EJ, I don't understand
EJ,
you Mets
don't,
fans.
EJ, don't forget, he's easily replaceable.
I mean, bro, I'm looking at this and I'm like, you got Vladdy Guerrero, who doesn't even have any home runs as many as Pete, and Yankee fans are, oh, well, let's clamor for Vladdy. There is no better first baseman that you're going to get. We have the best owner in the richest, not best, we have the richest owner in the sport. If he can pay for, we got to convert him to DH. What other first baseman are you getting in here? Let him stay there. Bring in Soto, bring in whoever to play for Marte. I don't get Mets fans, wake up. Moose, I really miss you with Maggie. Moose told you, wake up. You're not getting a better player than this. You're going to waste this. And this is this whole, hey, you know, what have you done for me lately kind of atmosphere that we're in this whole, and this is what bothers New York. This is why Jalen Brunson is wonderful. It's not about what have you done for me lately. It's about, hey, you want to build a winner? Not literally yesterday's game is a problem. I mean, come on. Yeah, they lose a game. Give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, EJ, I echo the sentiments. And I'm not going to compare Brunson to Alonso. I'm really not.
Me neither.
I'm just saying,
this is what New York fans have.
I don't understand the lack of appreciation from some Mets fans of what Alonso is.
And he can play here. He's already proven he can play here.
And not a lot of athletes
can. So you get Luis Arraez from San Diego, and all of a sudden, what? If he's great in the first 30 days, or he's not great in the next 60, it's this whole fickle, what have you done for me lately thing. And Mets fans especially have to get over that idea. We have to do it. Pete Alonso, there is not a better first baseman. Yandy Diaz, all them people, none of them are doing better than Pete. He's top 10, 4 to 10 in every single category. Look it up before you call the fan.
EJ, great call. Appreciate it. And I have a similar sentiment when it comes to Alonso. And we'll see. And I think a couple things come into play. I think you emotionally start to take yourself away as a fan from the situation, from the player, given the uncertainty of his future. And we know that, you know, Alonso wanted engagement. The Mets wanted to take a wait-and-see approach. I remember, you know, interviewing David Stearns at Mendoza's introductory presser, and having a conversation with him for WPIX. And You know, ask him about Alonzo, and he was coy, just like he was with every other reporter and everybody else out there, about the importance of signing Alonzo. Is that going to be priority number one this offseason? And it was always the same kind of wait-and-see approach. So as fans, I think when you expect potentially there to be a breakup down the line, when the rumors, rumblings come up, when Billy Epler's run the team last year about conversations, however far those conversations went, even if they were cursory conversations with the Milwaukee Brewers, the fact that the call was taken and the conversation was had about the potential of moving Pete Alonso last MLB trade deadline, then you start to say to yourself, well, maybe we need to disconnect a little bit from the player. Maybe that comes into play. I'll tell you, be careful. You know, what he is, and I know he's not having a prototypical Alonso season, and I know he's 29, he's not 26, he's not 25, he's not 24. Got to be careful. Because if you're going to say, well, I can replace him with somebody in Double A, easy. Easy. You've seen this guy go out there and produce in this city. You've seen him produce and, you know, do positive things and hit big-time home runs and have big moments in at Citi Field in Queens, represent the franchise really well on the field and off of it, and is really what you want from that position. He's your prototypical power-hitting first baseman. I mean, that is what you want. And I'll tell you, like, that's where we're at here in terms of the Mets, because they've got to go out there and add. They've got to go out there and add come the MLB trade deadline. And for Alonso, when he echoes the sentiments last night, during, you know, before and after the MLB home run derby, or really after, and he didn't do particularly well, that he wants to be a Met and he wants to remain here and he wants, obviously, this organization to add. You can understand that. And he's made it perfectly clear. And my sentiment to begin the program this morning after dealing with the traffic on the West Side Highway was that Alonso should be here. Anthony Astoria is up next to the fan. What's going on, Anthony?
How's it going, guys?
I'm doing well, Anthony. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Sitting here in the car with my 11-year-old, and we've been just listening to this whole Alonso thing, and he begged me to call you guys, and I called. This guy's homegrown. This is our guy. Like, this is our guy. This is the guy that I stayed in line 2 hours to get an autograph from my son. This is the guy that we watch the home run derby for. This is the guy that we go to the stadium for.
Yes.
Like, this is our guy. We haven't had this guy since David Wright. And I'm sitting here looking at my 11-year-old son, who's got his Jackie Robinson hat on, his Alonso jersey.
What's your son's name, Anthony?
Antonio.
Antonio. Beautiful, Antonio. Love it. Love it, that fact that you and your dad are in the car listening to a little sports talk radio. Brings me back to my days as a youngster. Love it.
Yeah, thank you very much. But, you know, I'm trying to keep my boys involved. We listen to the rate. We listen to the games in the car. I'm trying to do what I did when I was younger. But this is our guy. Like, Pete Alonso is our guy. Like, this is New York. This is our guy. This is the New York Met. Like, we're going to regret this one day, the same way we regretted the Seaver trade, letting Strawberry go to L.A. I mean, this is the same scenario. What if you don't get Juan Soto? Same thing with Mark Messier and Joe Sakic. You're going to be left with pie on your face. And if the Yankees have their way, they're going to get Soto, and they're going to get Alonso if we try to go after him.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily the Yankees. I think are just focused on Soto right now. I wouldn't be fearful of Alonso going to the Yankees unless Soto left and Alonso and the Yankees were left with a scenario where they needed to go make a push, and the Mets had turned a page on Pete Alonso. I wouldn't necessarily be fearful of that. I think the Yankees' sole focus right now as an organization, when talking about the offseason, is trying to get Soto back on that team.
I totally agree. I mean, I'm glad you guys took our call. It was important for us to get our point across. But at the end of the day, I'm loving the show this morning. It's very positive. I love the callers calling in, pleading to keep him. Last week it was a different story, man. I was a little upset listening to the radio, listening to you guys kind of like, you know, saying how we have to get rid of him.
Yeah, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, right? And what makes WFAN and Antonio Anthony, have yourself a great day and enjoy the heat today. What makes WFAN great is the vast amount of opinions and how you're going to react to those opinions that you're going to hear on this very radio station 24/7. So everyone's going to come at it with a different tact. know, I do think for, I've said it, made it perfectly clear, right? I do think Alonso should be a long-time Met. I do think the idea, well, now it goes out the window of moving him at the MLB trade deadline because the Mets are a wild card team or a contending wild card team in the National League. And then it gets to the offseason where, you know, as long as the ask is not outrageous, I don't think Alonso should play anywhere else. 888-808-1019. I mentioned it earlier, and I'll get to Nick and the other calls here momentarily. Mentioned it earlier dealing with the traffic. A couple of people have asked about Chip, so let me give you a little update on the dog. 11:43, Mark Melusis with you at Tuesday Midday, in for BT and Sal. 888-808-1019, your number to call. EJ, East Meadow, New York is up next. What's going on, EJ?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Moose, you have been wonderful today. I'm going to talk to Mets fans for a second, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm well prepared. And I'm going to go rapid fire, so it's no big deal. Pete Alonso, in all of baseball, is the number, is top 4 through 10. We're talking everything from hits, from doubles, home runs, RBIs, and OPS, which Brandon loves to freaking talk about all the doggone time, okay? Slugging and everything. He's top 10. The only two players that are actually better than him in all of those statistics, including, is Freddie Freeman,
yeah,
and Christian Walker. The Dodgers are not trading Freddie Freeman here, and Freddie Freeman doesn't even hit as many home runs. And Christian Walker, I'm sorry, he's wonderful, but guess what? Is he better than Pete? Okay, great. He's better than Pete. He can barely play first base if anybody's ever watching an Arizona Diamondback game, okay? So this whole idea, EJ, I don't understand
EJ,
you Mets don't, fans.
EJ, don't forget, he's easily replaceable.
I mean, bro, I'm looking at this and I'm like, you got Vladdy Guerrero who doesn't even have any home runs as many as Pete, and Yankee fans are, oh, well, let's clamor for Vladdy. There is no better first baseman that you're going to get. We have the best owner in the richest, not best. We have the richest owner in the sport. If he can pay for, we got to convert him to DH. What other first baseman are you getting in here? Let him stay there. Bring in Soto, bring in whoever to play for Marte. I don't get Mets fans, wake up. Moose, I really miss you with Maggie. Moose told you, wake up. You're not getting a better player than this. You're going to waste this. And this is this whole, hey, you know, what have you done for me lately kind of atmosphere that we're in this whole, and this is what bothers New York. This is why Jalen Brunson is wonderful. It's not about what have you done for me lately. It's about, hey, you want to build a winner? Not literally yesterday's game is a problem. I mean, come on. Yeah, they lose the game. Give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, EJ, I echo the sentiments. And I'm not going to compare Brunson to Alonso. I'm really not.
Me neither.
I'm just saying,
this is what New York fans have.
I don't understand the lack of appreciation from some Met fans of what Alonso is.
And he can play here. He's already proven he can play here.
And not a lot of athletes can.
So you get Luis Arraez from San Diego, and all of a sudden, what? If he's great in the first 30 days, or he's not great in the next 60, it's this whole fickle, what have you done for me lately thing. And Mets fans especially have to get over that idea. We have to do it. Pete Alonso, there is not a better first baseman. Yandy Diaz, all them people, none of them are doing better than Pete. He's top 10, 4 to 10 in every single category. Look it up before you call the fan.
EJ, great call. Appreciate it. And I have a similar sentiment when it comes to Alonso. And we'll see. And I think a couple things come into play. I think you emotionally start to take yourself away as a fan from the situation, from the player, given the uncertainty of his future. And we know that, you know, Alonso wanted engagement. The Mets wanted to take a wait-and-see approach. I remember, you know, interviewing David Stearns at Mendoza's introductory presser, and having a conversation with him for WPIX, and, you know, ask him about Alonso, and he was coy, just like he was with every other reporter and everybody else out there, about the importance of signing Alonso Is that going to be priority number one this offseason? And it was always the same kind of wait-and-see approach. So as fans, I think when you expect potentially there to be a breakup down the line, when the rumors, rumblings come up, when Billy Epler's run the team last year about conversations, however far those conversations went, even if they were cursory conversations with the Milwaukee Brewers, the fact that the call was taken and the conversation was had about the potential of moving Pete Alonso last MLB trade deadline, then you start to say to yourself, well, maybe we need to disconnect a little bit from the player. Maybe that comes into play. I'll tell you, be careful. You know, what he is, and I know he's not having a prototypical Alonso season, and I know he's 29, he's not 26, he's not 25, he's not 24. Got to be careful. Because if you're going to say, well, I can replace him with somebody in Double A, easy. Easy. You've seen this guy go out there and produce in this city. You've seen him produce and, you know, do positive things and hit big-time home runs and have big moments in at Citi Field in Queens, represent the franchise really well on the field and off of it, and is really what you want from that position. He's your prototypical power-hitting first baseman. I mean, that is what you want. And I'll tell you, like, that's where we're at here in terms of the Mets, because they've got to go out there and add. They've got to go out there and add come the MLB trade deadline. And for Alonso, when he echoes the sentiments last night, during, you know, before and after the MLB home run derby, or really after, and he didn't do particularly well, that he wants to be a Met and he wants to remain here and he wants, obviously, this organization to add. You can understand that. And he's made it perfectly clear. And my sentiment to begin the program this morning after dealing with the traffic on the West Side Highway was that Alonso should be here. Anthony Astoria is up next to the fan. What's going on, Anthony?
How's it going, guys?
I'm doing well, Anthony. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Sitting here in the car with my 11-year-old, and we've been just listening to this whole Alonso thing, and he begged me to call you guys, and I called. This guy's homegrown. This is our guy. Like, this is our guy. This is the guy that I stayed in line 2 hours to get an autograph from my son. This is the guy that we watch the home run derby for. This is the guy that we go to the stadium for.
Yes.
Like, this is our guy. We haven't had this guy since David Wright. And I'm sitting here looking at my 11-year-old son, who's got his Jackie Robinson hat on, his Alonso jersey.
What's your son's name, Anthony?
Antonio.
Antonio. Beautiful, Antonio. Love it. Love it, that fact that you and your dad are in the car listening to a little sports talk radio. Brings me back to my days as a youngster. Love it.
Yeah, thank you very much. But, you know, I'm trying to keep my boys involved. We listen to the rate. We listen to the games in the car. I'm trying to do what I did when I was younger. But this is our guy. Like, Pete Alonso is our guy. Like, this is New York. This is our guy. This is the New York Met. Like, we're going to regret this one day, the same way we regretted the Seaver trade, letting Strawberry go to L.A. I mean, this is the same scenario. What if you don't get Juan Soto? Same thing with Mark Messier and Joe Sakic. You're going to be left with pie on your face. And if the Yankees have their way, they're going to get Soto, and they're going to get Alonso if we try to go after him.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily the Yankees. I think are just focused on Soto right now. I wouldn't be fearful of Alonso going to the Yankees unless Soto left and Alonso and the Yankees were left with a scenario where they needed to go make a push, and the Mets had turned a page on Pete Alonso. I wouldn't necessarily be fearful of that. I think the Yankees' sole focus right now as an organization, when talking about the offseason, is trying to get Soto back on that team.
I totally agree. I mean, I'm glad you guys took our call. It was important for us to get our point across, but at the end of the day, I'm loving the show this morning. It's very positive. I love the callers calling in, pleading to keep him. Last week it was a different story, man. I was a little upset listening to the radio, listening to you guys kind of like, you know, saying how we have to get rid of him.
Yeah, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, right? And what makes WFAN and Antonio, Anthony, have yourself a great day and enjoy the heat today. What makes WFAN great is the vast amount of opinions and how you're going to react to those opinions that you're going to hear on this very radio station 24/7. So everyone's going to come at it with a different tact. You know, I do think I've said it, made it perfectly clear, right? I do think Alonso should be a long-time Met. I do think the idea, Well, now it goes out the window of moving him at the MLB trade deadline because the Mets are a wild card team or a contending wild card team in the National League. And then it gets to the offseason where, you know, as long as the ask is not outrageous, I don't think Alonso should play anywhere else. 888-808-1019. I mentioned it earlier, and I'll get to Nick and the other calls here momentarily. Mentioned it earlier dealing with the traffic. A couple of people have asked about Chip, so let me give you a little update on the doggy. Got to picks last night, got home about 12:02, right? Chip sleeps in a pen and like a crate and a pen area that we've kind of to contain him at night, right? He sleeps in a crate. Groomers say it was great, fantastic, did all the research. So he's got a little crate that is like a little mini apartment that he sleeps in every night. I open the door and Chip's running around the house. I was like, how are you out of the house? Pick him up and he pees on me. I was like, great to see you too as well, Chip. And then there is a smell wafting in the air. And clearly, Chip is still not feeling particularly well. And if you missed the story yesterday, Chip is our now 7-month-old golden doodle, mini golden doodle. Beautiful, great. I love him. I'll get to my wife's feelings about the dog in a momentarily. But I love him. The boys love him. There's a smell wafting in the air. So luckily, two areas, right in front of the door. Luckily, I did not step in it, but it was right in front of the front door. He had an accident. And then in the living room, he had another accident. So after a long day of work, get home, cleaning up diarrhea. Wake up this morning. Boys are up at 6 a.m., as they are basically every single morning. 6 o'clock in the morning, they're like roosters. They wake up. Wake up in the morning, Chip is in his pen, and there's puke all over the place. Throw in a little diarrhea as well. Call the vet, text my buddy over at Bull's Head. Can we bring him by for observation? So Chip right now is at the vet hospital, dropped off by my wife. And she is yelling at me while I'm sitting in traffic on the West Side Highway that she didn't want the dog, that this was my idea, that the kids never take care of it. As I'm inching forward and forward, looking at the clock, it goes from time of arrival on Waze, goes from when I leave the house, it's 9:08. It's to 9:15. It's to 9:30. It's to 9:40. It's 9:46. It's at 9:55. To the point where I call Hoff. And Hoff's taking the train in smartly from beautiful Eastchester, right? Hoff is taking the train in. I go, Pete, I don't know if I'm going to be there for the open of the show. He goes, all right, well, I'll talk to Ryan, the program director, Ryan Hurley, when I get in. All right, let me give Ryan a call. I go, there's an accident. He goes, are you involved in the accident? I'm like, no, but it's up the road. I'm sitting in traffic. All right? He's like, as long as you're safe, we'll take care of it. Whenever you get here, we get here. Great, fantastic. My wife calls me back. Right after I get off the program director, just as, you know, very unhappy. Let me put it to you that way. Very unhappy with the situation. I didn't grow up with dogs. You did. I didn't get any sleep last night. Chip was up all night. He doesn't feel well. What exactly is going on with this dog? Why can't we just give him the kibble? Why does it have to be I'm making white rice and chicken every single night or white rice and this? I'm making them egg whites. What am I doing here? I got to make food for my own kids. Why am I cooking for a dog? This is your deal. He's having diarrhea and puking all over the house. Like, what are we doing here? I agree. So as I mentioned yesterday, the odds of Chip remaining in the Malusis household past this summer. Right now, if you were a betting man, if we were out in Vegas and say we went to the Circa and they put up a odds board and said, Chip, Malusis dog, stay. Go, like stay would be plus 1,500. Go would be minus a grand. Now, at the advice of Dove, had a little pep talk with my kids as they're watching some nonsense on YouTube this morning before I left the house. I go, Gregory, Jackson, Paul, come in here. Family meeting. I need to have a chat with you about the dog. Dove, when I'm walking out the door yesterday, said, this is a teaching moment as a parent. Take it from me. You got to tell your kids, it's now or never. It's go time for the dog. Like, they have to get involved. I tell my kids, guys, the dog is not feeling well. He's going to the bathroom all over the house. He has to go out every single hour. And if you guys don't start walking and taking care of the dog is as good as gone. Trust me, the dog is as good as gone. My reaction from the kids, we do take care of the dog. I was like, I gotta go. I didn't get a peck on the cheek from the wife and say, have a good show. Basically, get the hell out. Happy Tuesday, 11:58. Melusa's with you, 888-808-1019. That's your number to call. Back with your calls and more next.